there's room for everyone, and the good earth is rich and can provide for everyone. The way of life can be free and beautiful, but we have lost the way. Greed has poisoned men's souls, has barricaded the world with hate. We think too much and feel too little. We think too much and feel too little. More than machinery, we need humanity. More than cleverness, we need kindness. Without these qualities, life will be violent. And all will be lost. Do not despair. The hate of men will pass, and dictators die. And dictators die. And the power they took from the people will return to the people. Will return to the people. Let us all unite. Let us fight for a new world, to do away with greed. Now let us fight to free the world.
Welcome back, folks, here on the Corporation Nation. Here on Republic Broadcasting, we are talking today to Rebecca Ross. Her website is methodicalillusion.com. That's methodicalillusion.com. Referring to the events of 9/11, where she has written a wonderful book by the same title, Methodical Illusion, which is, again, it's what's called a historical fiction. A great way of spreading the reality of 9/11 through a fictional story. I'm actually, I got to be honest, there's not a lot of books that I accumulate, but this is going to be one of the ones that I'm going to get here. Because of course, you know, the folks know that have been listening to me for a while. I lived in Manhattan during 9/11. I watched the buildings fall from my roof. Very different perspective than most people. And of course, I worked for the airlines there too. We had the Missing Persons Center right across the street from my front door on 11th Street, and the main hospital where people were lined up to give blood was just a block and a half away. Very, very strange time in my life, but I was very happy to actually be in that situation, to have just the Americans just aren't subject to that kind of experience very often, but to know what it's like to be locked down, to have no supplies coming in, to have the stores bare, and to see the people rally and actually help each other instead of falling apart like they portray in the media. Again, I stress that cash was king. The whole notion of trading gold and silver won't apply until the cash is gone. So cash was king. And the cell phone towers were also out, so we couldn't really call in or out to tell what was going on. We, as Rebecca said, we thought we were at war. I wish, you know, at the time, I certainly wasn't quote-unquote awake. I certainly wish I would have gotten up earlier that day to actually witness at least the second so-called plane that that entered the tower, but I was out really late the night before drinking. I was young and living in Manhattan was pretty fantastic. So but the whole notion, you know, I really want to go to the notion here of the connections to Israel, the connections to international Zionism. When I was doing research, Rebecca, you know, I found that most of the stores that you see in the mall, Starbucks, and all these different corporations out there, a lot of them are owned by either Israeli companies, Israelis, or dual Israeli citizens. A lot of our government is dual Israeli citizens. We've talked before about the fact that the president is operating, you know, why can the president make law and pass executive orders, etc.? And that's because they're operating under the Emergency Powers, the War Powers Act, etc. Basically creating a dictatorship, and that's perfectly fine with Congress. The Congress created the notion of it and accepts it and fully knows it, so they don't ever be fooled when they pretend to be the victims of the president's actions. It's all a big, methodical illusion, if you will. So, And what I found is that the president can, according to the U.S. code, and I don't have the code in front of me, but I read it on air a while back. According to the U.S. code, the president can delegate that power, that war and emergency power, over to his cabinet. And we find, for instance, in the Bush cabinet, we had 32, at least, that I know of, dual Israeli citizens appointed into the highest offices of government. And pretty much the same thing going on in the Obama cabinet. So... what? You want to know how Israel runs America? In other words, that's how it's happening, because those emergency powers under the law of necessity, which knows no law, yeah, that's being passed on to all these cabinet heads, appointed people running the government. A lot of them, Zionist or dual Israeli citizens. Now, you are obviously not afraid to make these connections, and they're very important connections. It has nothing to do with being prejudiced, anti-Semitic, all that crap that's thrown to divert the attention away from the source. You're obviously not afraid to talk about this.
No, I don't live in any fear. I just don't. I mean, just to keep this in mind, the new, I believe it's the Secretary of Defense that's just being sworn in, Ashton Carter. His last job was the director of the MITRE company. When you have corporations like MITRE, and there's a few others like that, I refer to them as the octopus in my book, but these companies that are running the wars and security, and you get companies like Blackwater. Now, Blackwater and the Kraft and those Navy SEALs that create this, you know, special security group, they're working above the law. They're not under the control of the government. They are on their own. So they can go out and do any kind of black ops operation, just like the Israeli Mossad, Sayeret Matkal. And what are the chances that we'd had one of those? I mean, there aren't very many of them, but just to mention a couple, Bibi Netanyahu is one, also was trained as a Sayeret Matkal. This means the prime minister of the current state of Israel is a trained assassin. Now, you remember just a couple days ago, I can't remember, it was Veterans Today or RT or something I saw online, that they were claiming that the Mossad might murder Obama because he's not happy about Bibi Netanyahu coming here to talk to Congress. Well, he's a trained assassin. So is Ehud Barak. An interesting thing about Ehud Barak, he was in New York City on September 10th, 2001, and then he flew out that night to London, where he was in the BBC studios. And this is very interesting, because the people that showed up in the studios here in the United States are interesting, too. He was the person who sat in the studio at the BBC early on in that morning, telling us it was Osama bin Laden, and coining the phrase war on terror. And we all know about that now, but at the time we thought, oh wow, war on terror. And so he actually was also a trained Sayeret Matkal, which means he's a trained assassin, which means he's trained to kill people, just in case that word escapes you. And let that soak in. Would you vote for someone that was a trained assassin to be your president? I mean, prime minister basically acts as a president. So when you start to look at this, I mean, what are the chances? Come on, this is America. We had four planes, only 250 people. Jewish people, and maybe Zionist Jews too, are maybe about 2% of our population. Yet, we had a highly trained, professional assassin, anti-hijacking specialist, and hostage rescue person that was completely defenseless on Flight 11. You're not really going to keep believing this, right? I mean, how can you sit logically and make this make any sense to your head? Stop it, wake up, and slap yourself. That's what I tell people. You have to realize you've been hoodwinked by the media. And how they did that is they showed you that over and over, and they're lying to you every minute you have that box on your TV set.
Well, there's the concern, you know, you had... just because I was, you know, a New Yorker there for quite a few years, we hated Rudy. Giuliani was absolutely hated in that city. Mm-hmm. And 9/11 comes along, and he becomes this unsung hero for some mm-hmm. god-awful reason, which I still can't explain except for the media. You mm-hmm. you had, and of course, he's a Zionist Jew. You have... then the Obama comes along and he appoints Rahm Emanuel, son of a known assassin, total Mossad agent, dual Israeli citizen, decides to serve in the Israeli army instead of the U.S. Army, and then comes back. And now he is the mayor of Chicago. And that's kind of important, because he's now set up to become the next Rudy Giuliani, when Mr. Silverstein's building, the Sears Tower, I think it is?
Yeah, the Willis Tower, it's called now, I think.
Yeah, experiencing the same exact symptoms of the World Trade Center, which is a major asbestos problem, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, that would cause billions to clean up. And you mentioned in the last hour, and so now you've got, again, the dual Israeli citizen as the mayor of the mayor of Chicago. And you mentioned last hour, and you didn't really get to expand on this, the sort of warning that came out in the
news. Yeah, and I do want to talk about that in this hour, because I know there are some people tuning in. This is why I'm speaking. This is what's the most important part. It is in my book. I don't have specific cities. They were not listed. So in my novel, I had to take a writer's privilege and just guess what they would be. But I have a pretty darn good idea, just because I pay attention to politics and what's going on and who is the mayor and that sort of thing. About 2 years ago, I was traveling with my husband, and I read this article out loud. It was a bit of news that was not mentioned on any U.S. news site, not one. And here's what it was. It was the Israeli intelligence, that's the Mossad, like our CIA, claiming that they had intercepted Al-Qaeda. We know who created that. That was a CIA Mossad creation to fight as a mujahideen against the Soviet Union in Afghanistan in the middle 80s. That they had intercepted a plan by Al-Qaeda that they would launch a 5 or 6 major city attack on the United States of America, that they would use a combination of chemicals, biologicals, and nuclear weaponry, that they would start on the anniversary of the Navy SEAL claim to death, which was faked, on May 2nd. They would go for 9 days until May 11th, and you did hear me say 9/11. After that, and these events would have a day or two in between, and they would hit every quadrant of the country. And after that, we no longer have any freedom. Not that we have much now, but we will be under total martial law. So I would like everybody to be prepared for that. And for some reason, what tripped me up is I had just read the news. I wrote, my Drudge Report is my homepage. I pay attention to everything that's going on in the world. And I had just seen the news, and I hadn't. So after I read that out loud to my husband later on that night, it was scrubbed from the internet, never to be found again. But I looked through all the news sites after that, because I freaked out. I was like, well, this is huge news. Now, why wouldn't it be covered on any? It's not even on Drudge. It's not even on Drudge. It's nowhere. It's not news. And so it dawned on me that, much like on the World Trade Center towers, where a lot of dual Israeli citizens that were supposed to be working in there, somewhere up near 4,000, were given a text message to not go to work that day, this could be a signal. Now, as I continue to do my research, and I'm kind of working on a sequel and putting some other things together as well, this kind of coincides this year with that Jubilee year. And 2008, when our stock market came apart, that was a Jubilee year also. That was 7 years after 2001. So here we are now, pushing into the Jubilee year. Could be this is what's going to happen. Now, this could be triggered by maybe some sort of financial collapse one day on the stock market. Maybe they know, I don't, but something's going to trigger this. Well, and I if guess, they do this, one of I the things I discovered...
Years, 7 years before 2008 was what? Oh, that's right, 2001.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, you see the cycle going.
Mm-hmm, in September 2001. And so one of the things that I think could be happening is that we're actually just being set up for the what I call the end game, the grand finale. This is when the New World Order, the grand tyranny, this is the Illuminati's plan. And if you don't know about Albert Pike and his plan for three world wars and
sure.
who he dealt with and what he was, I highly suggest you learn about that in a real quick hurry, because this is your future. And this is why I'm speaking. And this is the most important thing we can have on record, because it's the only way we can stop it. Because why would our best friend in the Middle East, Israel, have intelligence that five or six of our major cities would be attacked using these horrific methods, biological, chemical, or nuclear weaponry, and not tell us? And they own the media here, so why would it not be all over our media? You just think about this. Just think for a minute about this. Why would it only be one little Israeli newspaper site that had this? That's a huge event they're talking about. You realize that? This is the end of us. If they do this, and if there enough people are aware of it and are talking about it, and I don't care if you guys shout it from the rooftops, if they know we're onto the plan, hopefully we can stop it or slow it down until we get this country back.
Yeah, the cycle of that Jubilee cycle is very frightening to me. It's just people, the guy that's promoting it is of course a Jew, and he's saying it's God's plan. Unfortunately, you have to define terms. And, of course, those who control the systems are the gods, unfortunately. So you can't, blaming it on the biblical prophecy and not on self-fulfilling prophecy are two different things. And this can be stopped, I agree.
Mm-hmm.
But I
can't think of any other way we can stop it by talking about it and sharing it.
Well, that seems to be the motto, again, of the truth movement, and unfortunately, so far it hasn't worked, but maybe we're getting to the point now, like you said, with your book and other sources out there, that people are actually going to take some action instead of just talking. I don't know. I fear that the greatest concern for me is simply the military, because really what we're talking about is a mercenary force that is paid to be in the military, and that the only definition of that is unfortunately mercenary. When you're paid as a military in a career as military, and that's the most concerning group to me. That if there's one group that's going to make a difference, it's going to be the guys with the boots that decide, hey, I'm not going to do this to people. And unfortunately, those are the people we need to reach.
Yes, and unfortunately also, a lot of the ISIS that they claim are the Muslim boogeyman this time, much like the 19 Arabs from 9/11, these guys are Americans and Israelis and people from other countries, not necessarily Arab, and they certainly probably are most likely not Muslim, but they are those kind of people from Blackwater, and that's those off-the-wall black agencies.
Certainly well-funded. Have you seen their productions? I mean, yes. I worked in Hollywood, too, so, I mean, their productions, they've got cameras and multiple microphones, multiple camera angles, and, I mean, it's ridiculous how well-funded. Then you look at the pictures, they've all got the same new trucks. If anything, perhaps you should start boycotting the maker of their trucks.
Since the American people were dumb enough to believe that these young 19 hijackers on 9/11 could fly a 757 in a 270-degree corkscrew turn and land surface level and then crash right into the Pentagon, into the Office of Naval Investigation, where they were researching that $2.3 trillion that was misplaced, because, of course, the hijackers wanted to make sure that investigation didn't continue. I mean, if we believe that, then we can believe the last thing I just heard was ISIS had fighter jets. Well, where are they going to get the pilots to fly those? This is not something, it's not a turnkey, it's not a Volkswagen. You're not going to get in and just fly an F-14. I mean, just go up to, your nearest Air Force base and talk to some of those pilots, how difficult it is for them to learn how to fly those. Nobody's just going to walk off their camel, park the camel, tie him to his tree, and then get in an F-14, F-16, F-22, F-35, whatever they have. This is nonsense. It's people that are non-thinkers that could even buy this. But, man, this is what the media is pushing out there to people. And so I'm thinking, okay, maybe we earned this. We believed this of the 9/11 hijackers. Why wouldn't we believe it of these ISIS characters now?
Well, we can. We literally can be made to believe anything. Hey, let's Let's shift gears. Let's talk about a guy, if I have the name correct, named Amit Yoran.
Well, yeah, let's do that, because, you know, that's what I wanted to kind of talk a little bit more about. After I realized that these 19 hijackers were not in the passenger manifest, this is now, it came to me from people that had actually had the originals in their hand, have contacted me that worked for those airlines. And I realized that the FBI originally lied about those first four. One was the FAA employee and one was dead, and the other two guys were still alive. And then they quickly changed that story. That story was originally signed to the brothers. One was dead and one was the FAA employee. It ended up being Mohammed Atta's rental car story, I believe, too. So they just switched out players there, and we were just so busy unfurling our flags looking for who we're going to kill, we didn't even pay attention to them changing that. And that was in the first 72 hours of the whole fake make-believe story. It was just really nuts. But what I was looking for were other handlers besides the trained assassin on board. There had to be other handlers on. And so I started looking at people, and I found an interesting thing was happening. I found that the passengers on flight 175, this left 15 minutes after flight 11, that at 9 o'clock, we had two interesting callers call in 3 minutes before impact to the South Tower. Now, you've flown into Newark and JFK, so you've lived there. You know what you're seeing for a long time, more than 3 minutes. And Peter Hansen, who was a 32-year-old gentleman traveling with his wife and kid, he tells his father that he thinks the hijackers are going to fly the plane to Chicago and fly it into a building. And there is no way that he would have known that unless someone had told him that scenario was going to take place this day. And then another guy, interestingly enough, Brian Sweeney, F-14 pilot from the 91 Gulf War, U.S. Navy Top Gun fighter pilot. He was a flight instructor. He's trained at Miramar. His friend said he could kill any human being with his own bare hands. He was 6'2", 225 pounds. And I later found out, guess where he worked? Everything about him just said he was a business consultant. I kept digging. I actually found this in an obituary online that he actually worked for MITRE Company.
Naturally.
And so when he tells his mom, now this is an airline pilot. They are 44 minutes out of Boston. He calls his mother 3 minutes before impact at 9 o'clock. And his mom says, he says, well, you know, we've been hijacked and things aren't going well. And she says, well, where are you? And he says, I think we're over Ohio. Ohio's an hour and 45 minutes out of Boston. And any pilot that looks out his window, anybody that's ever flown that looks out your window 3 minutes before the South Tower, you know where you're at. You're in New York City. Yeah. It's 365 square miles. New York is a big city. And you're going to know this, especially if you're a fighter pilot. And he's been traveling from New Bedford, Massachusetts, to the West Coast for business for 10 years. So he thinks he's over Ohio. And I thought, uh-oh, there's another one. That's not right. How would he know that? And then he says to his mother, we're planning on a bunch of us taking over the cockpit from the hijackers. That's the scenario from Flight 93. And that's when I realized that there are people on every one of these planes that had been told of the four planes scenario and how they were going to come down by the details in those phone calls.
You know, I remember when I was with Continental based out of Newark, and we had a flight attendant that had made a report it was maybe two weeks before 9/11 happened. And she had reported that this guy, Mohammed Atta, was on her flight. He was real belligerent, real jerk, and they had to call the police, and she had to write up a whole thing about it. And after 9/11, she was called in, and they interviewed her, you know, I think it was the FBI. And that was all strange. And then the other aspect of it was that we found out that a couple of our planes, I guess, might have been scheduled, and they had a mechanical issue. But some of our flight attendants found box cutters that were hand-delivered through the catering service, so that you get they were in the flight attendant kit that comes through the catering service. Does that sound
interesting?
At all familiar?
Well, one of the things that happened after the book came out is a flight attendant from American. She was a purser, 30 years, And she was in Tokyo when they, at the hotel that United flight attendants were also staying at and stuck at after 9/11. And when the United executives briefed them on the day, a couple days after the event, and told them that the ringleader, they figured, was a guy named Mohammed Atta, all of the American flight attendants absolutely freaked out because Mohammed Atta was an executive platinum million-mile passenger. They all knew him by name and face. I don't know why he'd be flying Continental, because you'd think he'd be collecting mileage on only American. But here's
probably,
the thing. Paul Zaremka wrote a book about this. What the intelligence do is they create multiple personalities. There's this character named Yoran Amit, Y-O-R-A-N-A-M-I-T. He was also working with an Israeli company called Guardium that actually became somewhat connected with P-TECH. And he looks so much like Mohammed Atta that if you squint, if you look at his pictures and you look at his hairline, you look at that picture from Mohammed Atta where they claim it's kind of a blurry security picture from Portland, Maine. You can't tell who's who. Same thing with another passenger and the marketing character from P-TECH, Michael Goff. He looks identical to the judo champion that didn't want to get out of his chair, Jeremy Glick.
Mm.
So I found several Israeli citizens on board. There was a woman on 175, besides Brian Sweeney, that seemed to know about the plan to take over the cockpit. Now, keep in mind, as according to the official story, Flight 175 had only officially been hijacked for about 8 minutes. And there's just no way passengers are going to take control. The flight attendants wouldn't let you do that. And so they're not going to be meeting somewhere while they're sitting on the phone planning to take over the cockpit. That was just crazy. But what I saw was that it was the same scenario. And there's no way that at 14 minutes after a plane hitting the North Tower, because even the president didn't know what had hit it at that time, there's just no way they would have known the scenario to fly to Chicago and fly into a building or to take over the cockpit from the hijackers. And don't forget, we had the flight termination system installed that should have been doing that. And why nobody in those companies said, hey, well, let's turn on the flight termination system. That's why we bought this thing and land the airplane that's been hijacked.
Well, that would be too logical.
That's what happened to me. I started using all this logic, and so as I dug into all this, man, creating all these charts around my desk and putting the calls together and the details that they were saying, and I just want to share this with your listeners before I forget, because this is something everybody can do, and it totally blew me away. You can Google search CeCe Lyles, and it's her name is spelled C-E-E-C-E-E again.
Yes.
And Flight
I
93.
To that, actually, after you told me, and I was
did
shocked.
You listen to it?
Yes. Go ahead.
Okay. So down on the right-hand side on this Wikipedia page, there's some players. And one of them is the recording that she left. I believe the time stamp on it from her answering machine was 9:47. This would have been about 15 to 16 minutes before impact at Shanksville in the ditch. The airplane at this point should have been coming down 6 to 10,000 feet a minute, according to the National Transportation Safety Board data that I have. She calls in. She was a cop for 6 years before she'd been a flight attendant for one. She was a police officer, right? So she calls and she leaves this quiet, lovely message. Hi, honey. Well, we've been on a plane and there's three hijackers. And, well, I'm going to miss you. I'll see you in heaven. Tell the kids I love them. And at the end of her quiet little message, she starts to cry. And she loses her voice, and I mean, she really starting to cry. She hands the phone to someone, and you can hear that receiver or telephone, I don't know what it is, being handed to someone, like shuffling. And then you hear
thought,
a woman.
That we'll come back right after this break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Recent events have shown just how vulnerable we are to deadly viruses, bacteria, and fungus. These diseases are all caused by infectious pathogens that often get the upper hand on conventional medical treatments. Now more than ever, there's a great need for a product that will help protect us. Look no further. Supernatural Silver can provide immune system support to help fight off these deadly pathogens. Supernatural Silver is a new and vastly improved type of silver solution that's safe and extremely effective against 143 types of bacteria, both forms of viruses, mold, and yeast. Supernatural Silver can be taken orally or used topically and can be used in a nebulizer or vaporizer for inhalation. With over 180 scientific studies by independent universities, hospitals, and research institutions, Supernatural Silver is a powerful weapon against disease. Go to supernaturalsilver.com and use the promo code SILVER2014 for 20% off your entire order. Give you and your loved ones a fighting chance with Supernatural Silver.
Whew, nice shooting. Hey, that's a sweet AK-47 chest rig. Is that multicam?
Yep, got it from StrikeHardGear.com.
Strike what?
StrikeHardGear.com.
Set your sights on StrikeHardGear.com. Tough, tactical gear for your Soviet-style weapon that's made in the USA. Affordable, plus a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee and lifetime replacement warranty. StrikeHardGear.com. Go ahead, pull the trigger.
With autumn in the air, it's time to think about getting ready for winter. And it's time to save at HerbalHealer.com. You'll find amazing seasonal savings to prepare you for the fight against cold and flu season. Like Oregacillin to promote lung health. 30 capsules, regularly $34.95, now only $25. HHA Olive Leaf, the natural antiviral, normally $16.95, now 60 capsules are just $12. HHA Elderberry Power, a great flu and virus fighter, regularly $16.95, 60 capsules, now $10. Save on all our homeopathic detoxes. Choose from lungs, kidney, liver, brain, libido, or whole body, normally $26.95, now just $20. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click on the Fall Winter Specials button to save on all our natural cold and flu fighting products. Also explore our Herbal Healer Academy correspondence courses that teach you how to handle your health naturally. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
HempUSA.org introduces three brand new detox formulations of microplant powder. Brain Fuel for depression, bipolar disorders, and stress. Total Care, anti-cancer agent that cleans the liver and organs and increases memory. Rejuvenate, invigorates and heals the body, mind, and spirit. These products are your alternative to pharmaceuticals. Call 888-910-4367 and like us on Facebook. We ship worldwide. Only at HempUSA.org.
Dr. Joel Wallach, author of the famous health lecture, Dead Doctors Don't Lie, presents his newest book, Epigenetics. Epigenetics is required reading for the very survival of Americans, and yes, all of humanity. Modern man has bet on the wrong horse to save them from disease and pestilence. The medical system has failed us fearfully. Join the health revolution. Buy Epigenetics today and receive a free membership to purchase all the products that Dr. Joel Wallach formulated at wholesale prices and receive a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. All this for only $25 plus shipping and handling. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311. Again, that's just $25 plus shipping and handling. And you'll receive the new book, Epigenetics, a free membership and a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311.
He's a rebel and a runner.
Nation, we're talking to Rebecca Roth today. What a wonderful story. You know, you write a book, you go with a little teeny publishing company, and you end up number one on Amazon for a certain category, historical fiction. Methodical Illusion is the website, methodicalillusion.com, also the name of her book. Well, I'll tell you what, Rebecca, you have so much information that I don't even know. I mean, I could go on asking you questions, but I get the feeling that you're a lot like myself. You're a lot like the other people out here that are more interested in getting the message out than selling books. I mean, I understand that it's your livelihood, but I feel that there's a sense of what's rare about people like you is that there's a sense of responsibility, that this isn't just a pitch to buy a book, that this is, hey, you're trying to get a message out here. So we've just got, another half hour here. So is there anything really, really
perfect? Let me just finish that Cece Lyle story, because everybody hanging.
Yeah.
After she hands the phone to someone, a woman's voice says, in a sort of a whisper, "You did great." Now, she's the second woman I found involved in this, and I talk about it in the story. And the other woman also was found inside an FBI document as well. So what I found, in short, was the FBI has done everything they can do to cover up the truth of who really did this. I discovered it. I put it out there in the book. I talk about it. I am doing some Skype video conferencing for some 9/11 truth groups across the country now. I don't charge for that. You can contact me through email on my website and just arrange something. And all you have to do is just pretend I'm a PowerPoint presentation and push me up on a big screen, and I'll do that for your truth group or your church group or whoever you want to help understand this. But one of the things that I wanted to mention also is, I was totally into these calls, and then it dawned on me that these impossible cell phone calls and all of the crazy calls that were being made were being scripted, and they were being told to say things like, the hijackers of Middle Eastern descent, and nobody talks like that. I would never describe somebody like that. And my flights from Amsterdam and Europe, oftentimes I had 60 different languages being spoken, so there's no way I would say that guy was Middle Eastern unless he was wearing some custom robe of, that obviously looked Kuwaiti or maybe Saudi, in that long white robe that they wear, whatever it's called. And so I realized that the phone calls were important. Without the phone calls, we wouldn't know who to hate. And they had to be Middle Eastern, because there was no country involved. There was going to be 7 countries involved, because we know Wesley Clark was told that before 9/11 and shortly thereafter, that the plan was to go to war. This is what PNAC, the Project for New American Century, was all about. That's why the new Pearl Harbor, a.k.a. 9/11, was all created, was to push us into these wars in the Middle East to take over their banking system and their natural resources. So without the phone calls and the words like Middle Eastern descent, we wouldn't have known who to hate. And if the Al-Qaeda really did this, they probably would have taken off from Dulles, which is about 10 miles from the Pentagon, and just grabbed right there on takeoff, got a hold of the cockpit. They, instead of fly around for an hour and 40 minutes, because anybody that's anywhere in this country or has even read a good book about America and our security knows damn good and well that within 6 minutes of messing around in one of our commercial jets, we're going to scramble fighters at you. And so nobody would do that in their logical mind that even knew anything. So that's why I knew all of this was controlled and manipulated, and I found all of the players who did it and are responsible, and they're behind all the wars and everything else that's going on. So
and
I just kind of wanted people to know that.
They're still up to their tricks today, aren't they?
Exactly. And people need to be, it's like that when I first started doing research, and I think I was watching like Fox News, and I remember somebody like a character like O'Reilly or Hannity or somebody absolutely jump all over someone, and it must have been around the 9/11 anniversary. They were questioning Building 7 falling down in the afternoon, having not been hit by a plane, and they were called an anti-Semite. And at that time, I hadn't done my research. I didn't know. And I thought, what a weird thing to call somebody about a building falling down. I watched that building fall down that afternoon. I thought it was a controlled demolition.
Yeah.
I thought, well, what? The New York Fire Department does this? Because I heard Larry Silverstein say, well, I told the fire chief, just pull it. There's been too much loss of life. And I thought, well, hey, I've been involved in firefighting before. We don't pull buildings. We put the fires out in them.
Not to mention there was a countdown to it falling. That's a little strange. How did that happen? There's a lot of other, instances. There's the Zim American Israeli Shipping Company broke a lease in order to vacate the World Trade Center just days before the attack. Their lease extended through the end of the year, and the termination cost was about $50,000. There's a company
named Urban Moving. Yeah, Urban Moving Company. They had actually a mural painted on their truck parked down by the towers showing a picture of an airplane flying into the Twin Towers painted on their truck.
Was that the Dancing Israelis?
You know, I'm not sure if those dancing Israelis were over there in New Jersey, and it's interesting how the media manipulated that to believe that was dancing Palestinians. But when they picked up those dancing Israelis, they told the police, it's the Palestinians, it's your problem, not us. We were sent to document the event, and they were filming it. And they were put on an aircraft by Michael Chertoff and the U.S. government and sent back to Israel along with 250 known spies in this country at that time.
Exactly. And this is another company called Odigo, an instant messaging service. Two Israeli employees received email messages 2 hours before the World First Trade Center assault, predicting the attack. And according to this, I don't know if this is true, it says only one person of Israeli descent actually died that day.
I believe that's true. That is true. That's what I've read as well. Now, my publisher was called up by someone that ordered some books and told an interesting story while he was on vacation. They somehow him and another family got hooked together, and one of the wives was an employee on 9/11 in the Pentagon. And she was kind of freaked out. 1 hour before anything hit the towers in New York, her phone rang, and the voice on the other end, and she does not know who it was, said, get the hell out of the Pentagon now. And she did, and she's alive.
Yeah, you had Salman Rushdie, you had Jim Pierce, the cousin of President Bush, was supposed to be there, and they moved it across the Millennium Hotel. Newsweek reported on September 10th that a group of top Pentagon officials suddenly canceled travel plans for the next morning, apparently because of security concerns. Silverstein
Mayor of
properties.
San Francisco. I
mean, yeah, crazy. I mean, Willie Brown admitted.
Willie Brown was told not to fly that day.
Yeah, and he was public with that.
Well, people knew. I mean, people obviously were getting phone calls. And one thing that's really kind of fun and exciting and I never dreamed would happen is that people are contacting me and they're reconfirming things like that. Like, people knew. I mean, this lady that was in the Pentagon that got that phone call, she doesn't need to know who it was, but the fact that she was pre-warned to get the hell out of there, people knew, and someone knew that knew her and told her that. And the same with the people who got the text messages 2 hours before the towers came down. And various other people, and these peoples that were, you know, locked out of their military base that day, couldn't get to duty. These are the people that I want to hear from, and I mean, I just encourage people to come forward with their stories and reconfirming what happened to them if they have stuff like that, because it's important. These are the things that will help us save our country. I hope.
Yes.
I mean, I know we're running short on time. Let me just say the rat is cornered, and this information coming out public as it is, and it's coming out real rapidly because I'm doing lots of interviews as often as I can, talking to truth groups, selling lots of books. They are not going to be happy with this.
Well, and you know, I like that you say you have no fear. We know whose side you're on. So, I mean, you know, it really boils down, I think, again, if you start realizing the seriousness of this equation, you start to realize that there's really not going to be much to live for if we don't intervene in this craziness. I mean, if we don't do something, if we don't stop this, if we don't get this out, then, like I said, what is the purpose? What is going to be the purpose of living in the system that they're setting up? I mean, we do a lot of other talks on, you know, genetic manipulation and transhumanism and other stuff. The hell that they have planned is specifically based on this type of event happening, just like the hell that we've been through in the last 15 years after 9/11 took a Pearl Harbor-like event, as they said in PNAC. So it's, yeah, I mean, I agree with you. It's really time to, it's time, we've had 14 years now to mess around with this and hold up signs and everything else, but it really is, the hour seems to be getting late.
Exactly. And in my book, I really do point to all the people involved. And I mean, it's so complex. I could write 6 books on the subject. I didn't want to blow the reader's mind totally. This is really meant to wake people up that haven't been 9/11 specialists. I mean, I haven't been attacked on some Facebook and even Amazon reviews madder than hell at me that I'm not talking about Judy Woods or some other weird little thing that they're into. What I wanted to do was to wake people up to who did this, how it was done, what happened to the planes and passengers, and then and the corporations and the people involved. And that's what I wanted to do, and that's obviously the book is waking up hundreds and thousands of people. So it's not to, you know, to belittle somebody's theory of a directed energy weapon or anything. I don't care how the buildings fell down. I know they came down, and I know people in our government knew they were coming down. And the 343 firefighters that evaporated that day, I look at it this way. They died doing what they love. I mean, I would have felt the same way if I'd have died in a plane crash, you know, trying to pull people out of a burning plane. I mean, when you're going down doing what you love doing. And so I found comfort in knowing that, but also inspired me for them. And I did it, dedicated my book to them and several other people that lost lives that day, that we've got to help people wake up. And I suggest to people that they slap themselves across the face if this was hard for you to believe, because it's real. I tried to debunk this so hard. It made me sick to my stomach. I couldn't continue reading, writing, or even looking at it for a couple weeks when I discovered what happened to the planes and the passengers. And honest to goodness, people need to get prepared several ways. One, spiritually. Two, physically, and you need to have what you are going to need. You need water, you need cash, you need food, and you need to be prepared emotionally. Know that this is their plan. I read it in text and a news article. This is not far-fetched. 9/11 was far-fetched on September 10th, 2001. But what they have planned next, and another thing I discovered that through that back door and the technology, that P-Tech company has just changed their name. They were run out of the country, but now they're called Agile or some other. They're just the same. They still own and control all of our computerized systems, and that includes all of our weaponry. All of our weaponry, and I'm talking all of it. And so if they want to pull off a false flag and blame it on Syria and blame it on Iran, they can do it in one blink of an eye. So I say, be prepared. Get yourself ready. And always, spiritually, emotionally, and physically. And physically means basically have what you need to hunker down, stay in, and let the dust settle. And hopefully as much as you can.
Well, and I'd say it's very good advice, very apropos. I'd say it's also fair to say that it's time to acknowledge that we live in an institutionalized, organized, and well-produced lie. Everything that's coming at us is a lie. Everything, our even ourselves, even our personhood, our citizenship, it's all a big lie.
And it's all a methodical illusion.
Yeah.
Think about it. It is clever. It's a well thought out illusion. And trust me, these people have planned all of this. 9/11 was pre-planned. That's hard to believe. Think about it. But it was.
Well, it's hard to believe that it was pre-planned by the powers that be. That's the hard part for people. You know, it's easy to think that some
some guy living in a cave,
hooded, cloaked figure might have done it. But to think, and it's so obvious when you look at the facts, especially the facts that you're presenting, to think that you know, it's a false flag. It's so obvious to those of us who have certainly spent the time over the years looking.
Using your logical thought process, you just have to ask yourself, this is one of the first things I said to someone on the phone that morning on 9/11. How in the hell did somebody living in a cave in Afghanistan take control of NORAD and our military? And that's all I said. I kept repeating that over and over again because that does not make logical sense. It does not compute. It just doesn't. I don't care. And so, you know, you've got to remember that you are being manipulated by everything, including the television commercials. Turn the TV off. Get onto some alternative sources. Start looking, getting your news somewhere, anywhere but there. Don't live in fear. I mean, that's where they want you. They want you to be afraid of these ISIS people because they don't have a country. They're in your country. They could be your neighbor. And that's when they're going to have ethnic cleansing in this country and a complete total civil war. And without this kind of hate toward another religious group or entity like, you know, Middle Eastern descent people, you can't have ethnic cleansing without that. If you look in history and look where they've had ethnic cleansing and civil war, which is what ethnic cleansing's all about, they first start this hate thing. And if you don't think people are pushing hate, go turn on Fox News for an hour and listen to what they're saying. Any hour of the day. Any hour of the day. It is just truly amazing. And try to get your heart in a position where you work in a frequency called love. There's two frequencies that you need to be operating out of. Once you grab a hold of what this reality is, joy and love, those are the two highest frequencies that your body consciousness can deal with. And you want to not live down there where fear and doubt are. I always say fear and doubt, they're the lieutenants of the devil. They will make you spin down there and not be able to get yourself prepared, not be able to think straight. We need people that are standing on their feet, totally in control. When the you-know-what hits the fan, be one of those. You have time is short. Get ready now. That's my advice to everyone. I mean, just get ready now.
Well, and be aware that there's always the movements out there sponsored by our lovely CIA to take that and create a hippie movement out of it, to create a music revolution out of it, that all of them being false, taking that sense of joy and happiness and love and controlling it and steering it in the wrong direction. So we have to be careful of that too. But stay tuned, folks. Just got one quick segment left.
Earthquakes, hurricanes, nuclear accidents, terror attacks, and all-out social collapse. With the world today more volatile than ever, the future has never looked more uncertain. Survivalist Magazine is the one resource you can't afford to be without. Claim your free trial subscription now at www.survivalist.com and your first issue ships immediately. Get all the details and more at www.survivalist.com or order by phone. Call 1-866-437-6570. Your survival may depend on it.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here is what people are saying.
I have a testimony about how wonderful heart drops are. I ended up at Mayo Clinic, just had an awful time with angina and related problems to my heart problem. I remembered that I'd run out of heart drops and had reordered. And when I started taking them again, all these problems went away, and I just want to say how great these heart drops are. I'd recommend them to anyone.
I had my last heart attack in August, and I was having some form of angina pain pretty well every day. And then since I started taking it, I haven't had any angina pain at all. You know, I'm satisfied.
To get your Extendovite, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hi, my name is David Merlin from TakeFromCaesar.us. Income is defined in the tax code. All property is a cost, including labor, according to statute. You're deprived of the provisions of Section 83 whenever you pay an income tax on your compensation. According to Section 83, only the excess over the amount paid is gross income. The government can't so much as provide an interpretation of Section 83 of its own. Get your paradigm shift and understanding today at TakeFromCaesar.us.
Dr. Joel Wallach, author of the famous health lecture, Dead Doctors Don't Lie, presents his newest book, Epigenetics. Epigenetics is required reading for the very survival of Americans, and yes, all of humanity. Modern man has bet on the wrong horse to save them from disease and pestilence. The medical system has failed us fearfully. Join the health revolution. Buy Epigenetics today and receive a free membership to purchase all the products that Dr. Joel Wallach formulated at wholesale prices and receive a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. All this for only $25 plus shipping and handling. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311. Again, that's just $25 plus shipping and handling. And you'll receive the new book, Epigenetics, a free membership and a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311.
My neighbor, welcome again to this neighborhood. I'd like to show you something. You know what this is? Maybe if I press this button.
There are so many things to learn about in this world, and so many people who can help us learn.
We have reached the end. I'd like to leave today by quoting a real bastard, Franklin Delano Roosevelt. In politics, nothing happens by accident. If it happens, you can bet it was planned that way. Now, folks, there's a definition. It's the definition of political offenses that I want to get across here. This is Black's First. As a designation of a class of crimes, this is political offenses. As a designation of a class of crimes usually accepted from extradition treaties, this term denotes crimes which are incidental to and form a part of political disturbances. But it might also be understood to include offenses consisting in an attack upon the political order of things established in the country where committed, and even to include offenses committed to obtain any political object. Folks, what we've been talking today are the major, major political offenses of our lifetime, of our history. And I want to thank Rebecca Roth, for joining me today and explaining things that I could not even have imagined surrounding 9/11. Her website again, Methodical Illusion. That's methodicalillusion.com. Her book is available on Amazon under the historical fiction section, where it's the number one bestseller right now. And if you guys want to support the station, $100 will get you that book signed by Rebecca, and will support the station, doing a little fundraiser here at the station today. Call-in number for that is 1-800-724-2719, or you can hit the donation tab on the website, which is republicbroadcasting.org. Rebecca, again, thank you so much for joining us, and especially for joining us for 4 hours today. Methodicalillusion.com. I hate to phrase it this way, but any last words?
Just keep spreading the truth, and thank you for having me. And anyone that has any questions, I welcome you to ask, email me through the website. That's a great way to contact me.
Very nice. Well, again, I commend you for all your efforts, and I wish you the best of luck. Please, please be safe. Watch who you're dealing with, because you've, in my opinion, you've reignited something that, in my opinion, was dying or dead, which is the 9/11 movement to expose the truth of that thing. And you are in a position now of great responsibility as well.
I kind of cracked the cosmic egg on this deal, and it shocked me when I did too. So I had to digest what the heck to do with this information. I hope people just use it to wake up and wake up others.
Yeah. Well, let us know if you actually find that missing $2.3 trillion.
I will.
I appreciate that. Maybe the Enron evidence. You know, God, our government can't do it, but you seem to be able to.
I might be able to. The sequel.
Yeah. Well, speaking of that, you've got so much information since the original. How about the sequel?
I am working on one. I'm actually living it, I think, right now. So, yeah, there's some good information coming out. I've got lots of information, lots of great people coming forward. So, yeah, I am working on a sequel.
So it's going to be, in a way, biographical. How funny, autobiographical. Hopefully it won't end with
a novel based on truth.
Yes. We'll just hope that the last words aren't in blood. Thank you so much, Rebecca, and again, methodicalillusion.com. Get the book, folks, and share it, most importantly. I thought I heard some music, but it's really low. All right. Take care, folks. Tomorrow with Bert.
Financial uncertainty.